All right, the next presentation is Watering in Fungicides and Impacts on Dollar Spot Control, J.A. Roberts, B.B. Clark, M.D. Soika, and L.P. Treadway, North Carolina State University and Rutgers University. J.A. Roberts will be presenting.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pretty good lead-in. Previous talk talking about a root disease. Today I'm going to talk about a project that I kind of came into in transitioning from my master's research to my PhD research at NC State University. I guess I'm still correct in referring to the dollar spot pathogen as Sclerotinia homeocarpa. It gets its characteristic name from the symptoms that it exhibits on both cool season and warm season grasses. Develops as small areas of blighted turf, which can are roughly the size of a silver dollar, that can coalesce to form larger areas that are irregular in shape. As you can see here, sometimes the mycelia can be observed within these infection centers in early morning under heavy dew or after a heavy rainfall event. But most of us are really familiar with dollar spot for its impact on it's a large economic impact, as Dr. Kearns previously referred to in his talk yesterday, is that there are a lot of fungicide chemistries available for control, and the many superintendents spend more money controlling dollar spot than any other disease. But in our lab, in the idea of controlling dollar spot, one of our questions is, how can we reduce the expense with controlling dollar spot, as many of these superintendents are applying multiple applications each year? What are ways to reduce potential applications or find other ways of controlling dollar spot? One of the ways to do this is to look at the development of an effective fungicide program. There are many broad spectrum fungicides as well as some newer premix compounds that offer control of both foliar diseases and as well as root diseases. Now, dollar spot is a foliar disease, and in the previous talk, we talked about some fungicides that were used to control a root disease like spring dead spot. Now, one of the topics that came up in the questions was this effect of watering in fungicides. Now, many root diseases are, in controlling many root diseases, it's suggested that you apply a supplemental irrigation after these applications, or as Dr. Clark stated, go out in a higher carrier volume to place these fungicides more around the root zone where those fungi are actively causing disease. But one question that we also often get from superintendents is, how much foliar disease control am I getting after applying post-supplemental irrigation for controlling when applying a fungicide for root disease control? So for that, we developed a study to determine the impact of watering in fungicides on dollar spot control. And we did this in two sites. Our first site was at the North Carolina State Turf Research Farm in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this was on a Crenshaw creeping bentgrass putting green, which has been shown to have a strong susceptibility to the dollar spot pathogen. Our second site was at the Rutgers Horticultural Research Farm 2 in New Brunswick, New Jersey, on a shark variety, which has been shown to have a moderate resistance to the dollar spot pathogen. Both sites were mowed six times per week at 3.2 millimeters using a Toro triplex mower. Insects and other diseases were controlled with pesticides that are ineffective on dollar spot. Mainly brown patch was a problem in these areas, and we used flutolinil to control brown patch in both sites. Wetting agents were applied at both locations every 4 weeks, and each site was inoculated each year with isolates that were native to that site. For our site, we used a randomized complete block design with four replications. Our treatments consisted of seven fungicide treatments as well as an untreated check. And these treatments were essentially replicated twice. One set was applied as a foliar, and then another set was applied with a post-irrigation application with 5.1 millimeters of water immediately following that fungicide application. And as you can see here, here's a list of our different fungicides that we use. We have a few broad-spectrum demethylase inhibitors, a couple of premix compounds, including a quinone outside inhibitor, demethylase inhibitor combo, as well as a quinone outside inhibitor, succinate dehydrogenase inhibitor combo, which the succinate dehydrogenase inhibitor has been shown to provide excellent control of the dollar spot pathogen. Our treatments were replicated for 2 years across both locations. In 2010, we replicated or applied two applications 8 weeks apart. And as you can see, you'll see later, our disease pressure was much lower in 2010, and we wanted to see how much control we could actually get out of applying a single application of a fungicide. Our disease pressure was a little bit higher in 2011 and warranted a little quicker interval in our fungicide applications as we applied 4 weeks apart. Our plots were rated visually for infection centers per plot regularly throughout each season, and all data was subject to analysis of variance, and means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD at the 0.05 level. Just to give you an idea of our disease progress throughout each year, here we have a graph showing the disease progress in our untreated check plots, and this is a log transform data showing each location across both years. And you can see here in 2010 in North Carolina, we had a much lower disease pressure, which corresponded to roughly 80 to 90 dollar spot infection centers per plot, whereas the highest in New Jersey of 2010 had roughly 300 to 400 dollar spot infection centers per plot. However, for the ease of conveying this information, I'm going to present these treatment differences as differences in area under disease progress curve. And if, for those of you unfamiliar with this measurement, area under disease progress curve is a cumulative measurement of sequential observations across the season that compare treatments for their total disease-causing ability throughout the season. And as you can see here, all of our treatments were strongly significant across both locations in each year that we performed this study. And looking at the New Jersey site in 2010, I'd like to note here that there was a slight conversion issue with our rates, and these are actually reduced rates in reference to the label rate of each of these fungicides. However, in comparing them to the untreated check, all fungicides did reduce disease in comparison to that untreated check. And we did see on in comparing the watered N versus the non-watered N pyraclostrobin-boscalid combo, a strong difference when watering in that fungicide, as watering in that combo greatly reduced the efficacy when comparing it to that foliar application. Here you can see the reduced disease pressure that I previously stated in 2010. However, we did see some pretty good results with certain fungicides reducing disease more than others. I'd like to highlight these two treatments. The metconazole had a greatly reduced efficacy when watered in, as well as the mixture of azoxystrobin and propiconazole. However, both of these treatments, when applied as a foliar, had pretty good control of the disease compared to the untreated check. In New Jersey in 2011, disease pressure was a little bit higher in comparison to that North Carolina in 2010. We saw very good results amongst all treatments. All fungicide treatments reduced disease in comparison to the untreated check, regardless of that supplemental irrigation. And we saw differences across all treatments when applying that supplemental irrigation, with our with a strong difference being observed again in that pyraclostrobin-boscalid combo, as well as the metconazole application. And to sum up, in North Carolina in 2011, again we saw strong differences with many fungicide treatments reducing disease in comparison to that untreated check, and watering in having a significant effect with a strong reduction being observed, again, for that pyraclostrobin-boscalid combo, as well as triadimethon and metconazole. Just to give you an idea of what we observed in 2011 at the New Jersey site, And these results were pretty typical of what we would observe at this point in each season with reference to the amount of disease pressure that we were receiving during that year. Here you can see in our pictures, this plus sign would designate that watered-in treatment, whereas the minus would have a would be applied as a foliar. And you can see strong differences with the on this date with that triniconazole, with much more disease being observed in that that watered-in treatment, as well as some in the fluoxystrobin-mycolibutanil combination. And I'd like to note here that on this date, the paraclostrobin-boscalid combination didn't really have a strong reduction in disease in comparison to the rest of the data that I presented throughout the study. So in discussion, I'd like to note that all fungicides reduce dollar spot in comparison to that untreated check. Watering in fungicides almost always reduce the efficacy of each fungicide in both locations across both years. And this is similar to a recent publication last year by Pagotti et al., where they subjected different fungicide treatments to a simulated rainfall event of 32 millimeters, and they saw drastic reductions in control of each fungicide that they worked with. I'd like to note that the paraclostrobin-boscalid combo did provide the best control overall throughout the each location of both years, and this is likely due to that boscalid having such a strong effect on dollar spot, and it's many superintendents apply it for that reason in its ability to control dollar spot. And looking at that treatment watered in some cases watered in treatments were either no better or indifferent from all other watered-in treatments. So in thinking about picking your fungicides, in some cases, even watering in boscalid provided better control than another fungicide that was applied as a foliar-only application. So as for management implications, it's important to pick your fungicides wisely. So even when watering in a fungicide application, certain fungicide compounds can have a better impact on controlling dollar spot in comparison to others that might be applied as a foliar only. In many cases, when I refer to those superintendents asking us about foliar control when applying for root disease, many superintendents often apply for a root disease, water it in, and then come back in with another foliar application. So this research could allow these superintendents to apply one application and with a little bit of leeway on how you view your control strategy, and this could potentially reduce the amount of applications for dollar spot control each year, thus reducing or having an impact on the superintendent's budget, as well as reducing the environmental impact of applying these fungicides. So with that, I'd like to thank my advisors, as well as Dr. Murphy for letting us use this site at the Rutgers Research Farm, a few graduate students that helped out, my student workers, as well as the North Carolina State Center for Turfgrass Research and Environmental Education. And you can take any questions if you guys have them.
Joe, in your one slide from 2011, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was for a specific site when there was a really, the question was if I could talk about that difference in triticonazole that I noted in the picture in comparison to the absence of that difference being in the AUDPC. There was a lot of disease pressure that came on really fast at the end of that season, thus resulting in that difference being observed on that date in comparison to the total area under disease progress curve throughout the season. Yes?
Can you talk about when you inoculated? Were these applications preventative or were they curative?
The question was whether the applications were preventative or curative in relation to our inoculation. And we inoculated 5 to 10 days prior to our first fungicide application. So the disease was actively developing at each fungicide application. Dr. Horvath?
Can you talk talk a little bit about, you said you watered in with 5 millimeters of water?
Yes.
Can you talk about how that compares to a full irrigation event on a golf course?
That would be, that 5.1 millimeter would be similar to applying for a root disease. So the question was if I could compare that 5.1 millimeter to a typical irrigation event on a golf course. And we applied these applications so they would replicate what a superintendent would do in applying a root disease fungicide control. So that correlates roughly to 0.2 or 2/10 of an inch of water. Let's see, one more. Do we have time for that one?
Hold off.
Okay. Thank you.